Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. We got Thomas on here. Let's get him on and see what's going on. Morning, Thomas.
Morning, Captain. How you doing?
Doing okay. How about you?
Hey, Thomas.
I'm hanging in. Good morning. I'm just having my cup of coffee listening to you guys. It's amazing because I just replaced the springs on my little 16-foot trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a pain in the butt when you got a boat on it, but I got it done.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I missed the part. Was there anything that I can put on? Because I have a galvanized trailer. Is there anything I can put on those leaf springs before my first trip back into the water?
Actually, you know, I know some people spray WD-40 on them, things like that. But, okay. You know, as far as the bad thing about it is you can't, I mean, years and years ago before people got so, I don't know how you'd say, but
useless.
But they would get like upset now, you know, if you were to use any kind of a petroleum product
on
a trailer. But I had a friend of mine who used to, and I've had torsion axles for, I couldn't even tell you how long, 25, 30 years now. But so I don't have leaf springs. But anyway, he would take grease and mix it with his used motor oil, and he'd take a paintbrush and paint them. You know, painted on there, and that way it would kind of go in between them and stuff. The thing about the leaf springs is, what's so hard about that is, you know, they're you know, flat against each other, and then of course as you're driving down the road, they open and shut, you know, together. I mean, you got little spaces or something. When you launch the boat, you know, the trailer's turned at a different angle; it might be open a little bit. Get that salt water in between them. You just can't get something in between them to protect them. You know.
Two questions, Vic.
Okay.
Did it work on his leaf springs?
Yeah.
And is he out of prison yet?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah. If you do that now and launch your boat, I mean, you'd see a oil slick, you know, at the boat ramp everywhere, you know. So that would be definitely a no-no. But if there was a product that you could use like that, even some of this shark hide that we've been talking about this morning, I mean, if you put that in a spray bottle and just spray your leaf springs, maybe that would do it.
What's it called?
Shark hide.
But it's $80.
Yeah, for a quart. Whoa. Yeah.
And I think when you got metal rubbing together, like the springs, you're better off risking prison than using shark hide.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. No. I really called to ask, is it time to get out the shrimp nest? Is it eating shrimp out anywhere in Jacksonville?
Actually, I haven't heard much about Shrimp Run.
Me neither.
I mean, they should be all over down and around Mandarin and Doctor's Lake and all that, but I haven't heard anything about them. I have seen, you know, shrimp in the river and seagulls picking them up. I mean, you know, if you're close to seagulls when you see them diving, I've seen some seagulls pick up some pretty nice shrimp in the river. But as far as, you know, as far as having them down, you know, where people are cast netting them, I just haven't heard that much about them.
Well, and I bought local shrimp from the, like I said, the woman that's just across the tracks on Heckscher. And, you know, she works her boat just right there in that area. So there's shrimp coming through. They were medium to small, though.
Okay.
See, a lot of times you get a lot of rain, it might flush those shrimp out earlier. That's what happens sometimes when the croakers, you know, because the croakers and black drum kind of follow the shrimp. And the yellowmouth trout kind of follow the shrimp out toward the ocean. And, you know, that's when we catch them here, usually around the end of September, October. And, you know, that shrimp run is full force out, you know, like from Dane's Point or Dunn's Creek out to the jetties. And that's why the croakers are in that area. But, you know, they should be all around Mandarin right now.
Yeah, that's where I live. I know I launch out of... right by Hooters on Bay Meadows.
Oh, yeah.
in San Jose. I do that. I used to do it more, but now I take the 25-mile ride to Mayport now because the river just hasn't been. I've been here since 1990, and the river is not as productive, no way, as it used to be. As we had all those storms and stuff, I can never recover. I don't even try to even fish the river anymore.
Yeah.
I think dredging has not been our friend either.
Right. The dredging's caused a lot of that. But I think one of the things this year also is we've had a lot of rain. And what happens is when we get a lot of rain here, it doesn't really hurt us because we're so close to the ocean. What hurts this area a lot of times is you get a lot of rain 100 to 150 miles south of us, and all of that water is, off the streets and – houses and parking lots, all that winds up going in the St. John's River, and it has to come out through this area to get to the ocean. So a lot of times we get a lot of fresh water coming through. And at that period of time, that's when you don't do as good on your redfish and your trout and, stuff like that when, up south of town or anything.
I haven't had a really good croaker year when the big Virginia croakers come through. I haven't had a real good year in years. I used to go underneath the Dames Point Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how hard the water's running. I could put an 8-ounce sinker up there and just slay the big croakers.
Yeah.
But I haven't had that kind of luck in years. I love those guys.
Yeah, and let me tell you, every species, I know the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the Southeast Atlantic Fisheries Council, that governs the ocean and stuff. I know they always talk about certain species being overfished because it kind of slows down. I have fished here for a little over 60 years, with my dad and all. And I have seen where some of the years, how croaker fishing is. You can go out and catch 100 of them in 3 hours. But
yeah,
I've seen it in areas where you don't do good for a year or two, and then all of a sudden it's like gangbusters, I've seen that on the flounder. I mean, this year, last year wasn't really that good on the flounder. It was better than the year before, but this year has been great on the flounder. Now, there again, there's a bunch of small ones, more small ones than the large ones. But looking at that, at least the population is there. So these small ones are going to grow up,
Get big, yeah.
Yeah, so I think next year you're going to have a lot of flounder that are small now. That next year they're going to be right size, and seeing that much in the population, that many of them in the population, that's just great. Now, our trout fishing has been really slow for 2 years. Mangrove snapper, that's a good one right there. Mangrove snapper was real bad 2 years ago.
There was hardly any. There was none.
Last year, I talk to people all the time at the boat ramp and, on the phone or, Facebook. There was nobody saw a single mangrove snapper last year.
Wow.
I mean, seriously.
That's strange.
Now, they're catching 15, 20 of them.
And bigger. There's big ones.
Yeah, they can catch legal ones now. You can fish one around rocks, around docks. it doesn't take but a 10-inch. Mangrove to be legal. They got to be 12 inches offshore. But usually offshore, they're catching, 3 to 7 pounds. So they don't have to worry about that small size. Usually the small ones are inshore. But like Bill was talking earlier, when they get about 15, 16 inches, they generally kind of, gravitate offshore. Mm-hmm. Captain Fred Morrow and I, one time for about 2 weeks, caught some 2-pounders at the jetties weeks there. And that was the biggest ones I've ever seen inshore. I mean, really nice ones, but haven't done that since. See, so I think every species has that year or two of slowdown, and then the next probably 2 to 3 years is really good, and then you're going to have another slowdown for a year or two. And I think that happens with every species.
Well, game too, hunting, same thing.
Yeah,
I used to small game hunt up north, and some years there'd be squirrels, some years there'd be rabbits, and same deal.
Yeah.
Normal.
So, but I appreciate your call, Thomas. I appreciate your call. I wish I could give you more of an answer, but do you do Facebook?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, sometimes you can get on some of the forums and go, what do you put on? Keep listening to me. I'll try to find out for next week. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, Thomas.
Have a good weekend.
You too. All
right.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun, but at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And, yeah, I'd like to, I know if anybody else has got a tip on, you know, Thomas's question about what to put on leaf springs to protect them, especially he put new leaf springs on, so he wants to try to, you know, put something on to protect them before he launches the boat the first time. And, of course, he don't want to keep the boat out of the water for several weeks. I can understand that. So need to try to get him an answer pretty quick. So if anybody's got any tips about that, I'd love to hear it. You can call us at 222-8255 and, you know, put it on the air. No, you know, that's a big problem, you know, with boat ownership. People don't keep an eye on leaf springs. And, what happens is when you have a problem, it's usually on the road.
Of course.
And that's when, you know, you see the people on the side of the road with it.
Been there.
Yeah.
You?
Well, not with leaf springs, but I did with bearings one time.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a boat from the guy I went to high school with, and about 2 weeks later is going to take it out. And so, getting up on 295 and running about 60 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I felt something, you know, like bounce real hard. I looked in my rearview mirror, the side rearview mirror, and all I saw was white sparks. And it was the axle, the U-bolt. It was actually not the axle, but the U-bolt holding the springs to the axle.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, by the time I could pull over, when I looked in the rearview mirror and saw that white, I started pulling over. And luckily, it was like 5:30 in the morning, so nobody was hardly, you know, on the expressway. As I was pulling over, I saw my tire pass me and went down into the median. I kept my eyes on it, and it went down the median and started going up like it was going to go to the other lanes on the other side, but it came back down to the median, you know, down to the median, because mm-hmm. it was, you know, the median's like a ditch in there. And so anyway, it went out of sight, you know, from my headlights. So I grabbed my flashlight and I head down there to get the tire. And the reason it stayed up so good is it had the hub in it, you know, because mm-hmm. the bearings went bad and just. But I mean, I'd only had that thing about 2 weeks.
Dang.
So anyway, had to do some major work on that. But that was so funny because not so funny, but so weird, because that tire must have rolled at least a quarter of a mile, maybe half a mile, before it actually fell over, because of having that hub in it, it made it balance just right to where it just stayed up and rolled. And how I could find out, I hadn't passed it yet. When I was walking down through there, I could see where the grass in the dew, the grass was laid down where the tire was running.
You tracked it down?
Yeah. Tracked it down and rolled it all the way back.
Jeez. That's no fun.
Yeah, because the tires was good. It was just and, you know, the bearings. So anyway, I had to replace the hub and bearings, and I had to re-thread the spindle, stuff like that, but got it taken care of. But the leaf springs is one of the things. I know a lot of people have had problems with leaf springs, and they kind of, sometimes people will overload a boat, and you know, they think the trailer is going to hold anything. But your trailer has a weight capacity to it, and that weight capacity for your axle includes the weight of the trailer.
Well, it's like horsepower. You see these boats are 20 feet long. They get a 40 horsepower motor. They don't have enough power. They're mm-hmm. grossly underpowered.
Yeah.
It's not overloading the boat. It's buying a trailer that's too small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
Yeah. But I mean, once you get,
you save $500 and then you got that problem for as long as you own it.
Yeah. And what happens is a lot of times people get, you see what your boat weighs and all that stuff, and then you start putting in
gasoline.
You know, your gasoline, you fill up your tank, you got anchor rope in there, all your weights, your tackle and all this stuff.
Batteries.
And batteries, yep. And, I had on that Caroline skiff, I had two trolling motor batteries and two starting batteries, and, with a battery switch on it. Had a 150 Yamaha, Honda, 150 Honda on it, which weighed about 590 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the gate station on Hexer Drive used to, it was more of a truck stop. It used to have these pumps to the side of it for semi-trucks to pull around behind it and come through and stop at those pumps before they remodeled the whole thing.
Right.
And you go in the back there, they had a telephone. You could get up on the scales and get the telephone, and tell them inside you want to,
weigh me.
Get to weigh it. And then they'd weigh it, whatever, get it. And then when you go inside to pay for the weigh, that's when they let you know how much it weighed. And I weighed mine. And the first trailer I had with that Caroline skiff, I weighed it. And it was like 4,300 pounds with everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I put a little bit of water in the live wells. I put ice in the cooler, like you would normally load a boat.
Oh, I mean, if you were insane?
Yeah. You want to load it, because when you leave the bait shop, you're going to have water in your live wells. You're going to have ice in the cooler and stuff like that. So I did that, And when I weighed it and come to find out, I had a 4,200 pound trailer. And the boat and everything, weighed 4,200 pounds. And that wasn't good. So I went ahead and bought a 5,000 pound trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had that trailer for like 2 years or whatever. So that was my first trailer I had with it. But so, you know, you want to buy a trailer that's going to be enough to handle the weight. Like the one I've got now for this boat's a 6,000 pound trailer. But it's, you know, going to handle the weight, and I shouldn't have to buy a trailer, you know, from now on.
I should be good. I should have 500 pounds above what my boat is loaded based on 20 gallons of fuel and four batteries and, yeah, you know, all the stuff. And fortunately, I don't ride back there, so there's a few hundred pounds I don't have to carry. That's on the truck.
You're riding in the truck.
Yeah. Right?
But, yeah, that's an important thing, you know, is that always make sure your trailer's, you know, the weight capacity is big enough. I had this trailer, you know, it was a Magic Tilt trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry, but I'll never buy another one of them. That came with the Seaborn that I have now. It was an aluminum trailer, dual axle, really nice, but the tires kept wearing. They'd wear on the inside.
Because the axle was crooked?
No, and I thought something was wrong, like the axle wasn't straight,
right,
you know, with the trailer or whatever. And then I went down to see Chuck Deitz about, you know, getting another trailer. And he's down in St. Augustine, just north of St. Augustine. It's First Coast Trailers. That's where I bought my other one with, you know, from the Carolina, for the Carolina Skiff. And it lasted me. I mean, it's still lasting the guy that I sold the boat to.
Mm.
I had that boat for 16 and a half years. First 2 years, I had the first trailer. So the rest of the time, you know, 14 and a half years, I had this other trailer. Well, I've sold it to him this December, be 6 years ago.
Right.
And he's still using it.
That's amazing.
So that shows you how old that trailer is. Torsion bars again, you know, no leaf springs. Yeah.
Yeah,
I-beam, you know, and it's a 5,000 pound trailer. See, so that's why I went ahead and bought this other one. But anyway, when I was talking to Chuck, I said, I got a Magic Tilt and it doesn't have a sticker on it. He goes, Magic Tilt is really famous for putting the sticker on the bottom of the tongue. They're required to have a sticker showing the weight and all that stuff. So they put it on the bottom of the tongue where nobody gets down on your knees and looks up.
Right.
So I look at it and it's a 4,400 pound trailer. And, you know, he said, yeah, for that boat you got and everything, he said, you know, that's not going to work. I said, well, you know, I've had it for, I don't know what, 3 years, almost 4 years, you know. And I said, well, you know, got to replace it. And now my tires wear evenly, you know. So it was just too much weight on that trailer.
I hit a stump when I went over to Cedar Key. We were mm-hmm. going through these dirt roads to get to the condominium we rented.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know it moved one side of my axle back about an inch.
Mm.
It chewed those tires off on the way back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll mess them up badly.
Oh, boy. And it was fast. So I used, they were brand new tires.
Yeah. So, you
didn't
know,
matter.
You're kind of dragging them instead of letting them,
yes,
you know, because you're dragging them to the side, so to speak. But yeah, if you have a trailer that's, the tires are wearing on the inside, that means you got too much weight and it's kind of squatting the,
mm-hmm.
squatting the trailer.
Like so. The Volkswagens. You see,
yeah,
those Volkswagens,
oh, yeah,
with the angled tires?
Yeah. Yeah, you jack it up and the tires are...
Yeah. Hey, so I got a secret gel coat tip for you today, Vic.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been working on my boat. I got the gel coat, full coat of gel coat on the bottom of the boat, finally.
Mm-hmm.
I can only do 6 to 8 ounces at a time because it hardens on me.
Right.
And I read in my research... the gel coat works between 40 and 100 degrees. Well, my garage easily gets to 100 degrees.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
always over 90, you know, except in the morning. And sometimes I have to do it in the afternoon. They said, put it in the refrigerator. So I started putting my gel coat in the refrigerator until I used it. It gave me probably another 4 minutes, which is...
I would have thought longer than that.
Well, it's still, you know, as soon as you take it out, it's 90 degrees, you know,
yeah,
how hot it's been. So,
oh, yeah.
But the 4 minutes is enough to do. I don't have waste anymore. I used to have a ton of waste.
Oh, yeah, because it hardens up.
It hardens up.
Yeah.
And you try to put it on, it's like fish scales.
Yeah, it's like any, you know, any type of fiberglass stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good tip, though, for gel coat.
Oh, I made all
probably
the difference.
Probably for fiberglass, too, fiberglass resin, too.
I don't want to do 3-ounce batches, you know.
We'll be right back.
101.1 FM, the conservative voice of Jacksonville, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Tens of thousands of South Lake Tahoe residents watching this weekend for a possible chance to return home. Authorities say firefighters are making a lot of progress now against a major California blaze. President Biden Friday meeting with officials and residents in Louisiana in the wake of Hurricane Ida. He tells residents that federal assistance is on the way. Meanwhile, the death toll from flooding in the Northeast because of that storm has risen to at least 49. Authorities fear the numbers will climb. State Department in contact with more than 100 Americans who've asked for help in leaving Afghanistan. Americans were not evacuated before the U.S. military withdrew last week. This is SRN News.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You hear the news those in power want you to hear every day. You can't avoid it. Is it real? Is it factual? Here's a challenge. Listen to the conservative voices on WBOB for a week. Now you have another side to consider. Which will you choose to listen to after that? It's a free country. You get to choose. The conservative voice of Jacksonville. This is AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 87. Tonight, partly cloudy with temperatures dropping to the low 70s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a low chance of showers with a high near 89. A sunny Labor Day, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon with a high reaching the low 90s. And as for Tuesday through Friday, mostly sunny, chance of rainfall with thunderstorms and highs reaching the low 90s.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Looks like we're coming toward a new moon, so your tides are going to be getting higher than normal. And also, I see right now, before we get to the new moon, the low tides are higher than normal, too. So, you know, don't get stuck out there when you think you got plenty of water. But yeah, as far as the Menger snapper, like we was talking about earlier, you know, with Thomas, I mean, it was really weird how I didn't catch a small one. Nobody that I knew of caught a small one last year. I never saw one. Each person I talked to, they're like, no, I haven't seen them. Have you caught them? You know, and the year before, it wasn't very good. I mean, you go out and catch maybe a couple of keepers and that's it. This year, it's running, you know, a whole lot better. And as far as, you know, the size of them, you know, for getting in the, I mean, just here's a friend of mine's catch. So you can see it's quite a few of them there.
Man, that's a nice catch.
Yeah. Let's see. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, yeah, there was two people on the boat. So, but those are nice ones.
That's my wife's favorite fish to eat.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She don't make it throw that.
You don't make me throw those back.
Wow. But yeah, actually, believe it or not, you can catch those around the docks too. When there's not a lot of boat traffic,
right?
You can catch them around the boat ramp docks. You catch them around Sisters Creek Bridge. The rocks over there by Sisters Creek Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? On the, I'll call it the east side of the bridge. You know, so if you're in a kayak, you don't have to go that far.
Yeah, but you don't want to be fishing under the bridge.
Not this weekend.
No.
No.
I like to fish for mangrove snappers. I have a 20-foot telescoping fiberglass rod. And you can, at a 45-degree angle, the mangrove snapper will pull the tip into the water.
Mm.
It's hilariously fun.
I bet it is.
Oh, my gosh. It's so long and limber. It's like fishing with a noodle.
Mm.
And you think you got a whale, and it doesn't have any eyes on it except for the tip.
Mm.
So it's just a regular old cane pole style thing. Super fun.
Is it a fiberglass
one? Yes.
Yeah. So are they
they're cheap.
Different weights?
I don't know. This thing is, I wouldn't want to catch a rat on it.
Mm.
I think you'd pull it apart.
That's because some people use them for sheep's head.
I've seen them.
At the jetties.
Yeah, I don't think you use a 20-footer. I wish I would have got something more like 16.
Mm. And that's why I was wondering if they were different weights because, I mean, sheephead fishing, if a mangrove snapper could bend it like that, you know, sheephead's going to
run. Well, they're not breaking it.
Oh, yeah, because it's fiberglass, yeah.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the reason I bought it, I watched two guys underneath the bridge here past Hexer.
Mm-hmm.
Catch a sheephead. They were laughing so hard that they lost the fish. And I said, oh my God, I got to buy one. And it's like $25, I think, for the thing.
Yeah.
And it's telescopic, so it fits in my rod racks on the side of the boat.
Mm. You know?
And it's a hoot. I recommend it.
Yeah. So what size line you got on it?
Maybe 10. I don't really know.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Well, that one you don't have to worry about casting, so you could put a little bit heavier line on if you're sheephead fishing, you know.
Well, you can use surface clubs, plugs with it, but you have to be 40 feet away max.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's 20 feet long with 20 feet line.
Yeah.
That's it.
So when it bends down and you're trying to raise that fish up, say if you had a good fish to try to net him, you're going to have to raise that pole way up.
I don't know. You have to hold on with two hands and the thing bent over like that.
Mm.
It's just ridiculous. It's a lot of work, and it's just all
so
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know we used to use them a lot, you know, for speckled perch fishing, my dad and I, because, you know, you just set the little minnow with a little float, orange float, and you could just, you know, set it in the whichever lily pads you want to get between.
The holes, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you could sit there in the boat and just kind of fish all of them all around the boat, which is good.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in a long time. I'd love to do that again.
Well, now that I'm old, I get, you know, free licensing for... You know, you can get a bear hunting license and a catfish hunting license. And so I'm going to get a freshwater license. We used to have a covered dock at our marina, and they'd come, and it would hold, I think, maybe a dozen boats, cabin cruisers, you know, bigger boats.
Mm-hmm.
So the roof was pretty large, and you could see them. It'd be nothing for us to catch 60 or 80 of them.
No.
And we'd pull a John boat up on the dock, and us kids put water in it, and that was our fish well,
aquarium
is a fish well, yeah. And then the dads would get them and fillet them all out. We'd have a big fish fry.
Mm.
But gosh, that's a fantastic fish. I don't know if they're that good here in warm water as they are in cold water.
Freshwater cats are. I mean, you know,
no, not the crappies, the speckled.
Oh, yeah, speckled perch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Fantastic.
They're good. Yeah.
Those and walleyes are as good as fish get, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people fish for them at, you know, at Mississippi Doctor's Lake. There's some in Doctor's Lake. But, you know, fish for them in Palatka, Crescent Lake, Dead Lake, Lake George. You know, places like that.
Well, I got a new trailer. My boat's going to be all dolled up, so I'm going to be around.
Yeah.
Might go back to Cedar Key. That was pretty fun, fishing over there, if you don't run aground every 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, and you got a new bottom, so you may not want to do that for a while.
There's not that many oysters over there. It's grass flats, at least where I was.
Yeah. All it takes is one rock, Lou.
And get it over with. I told you, I'm just going to gouge it with a screwdriver before I go.
Well, that won't be bad getting a scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting another hole in it's going to be bad.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
It's been a hell of a lot
of work.
I know
it's so weird that you didn't notice it because.
Not really.
Especially you being by yourself, it seems like you would notice the weight of the water in it, you know.
Well, my bilge pump, you know, it's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
So it never got a lot of water in it.
Mm. Yeah, but the foam soaked water.
It didn't soak. That's why I didn't tear it out. I was prepared to tear it out. I cut in from the top to check.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind it is, but yeah, I expect it to be horrifyingly, you know, soaking wet,
yeah,
ratty, rotten, you know what it's like.
Fall apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was perfect. I got lucky.
So when do you think you're going to get your boat out?
What year is it?
It's going to be Christmas before you know it. So,
well, the problem know. Is, the real deal is I got a gas leak.
Yeah.
So if I have to cut that gas tank out of the front deck, which I can do, but then I got to put in a gas tank, put in a gas line, and yada yada. So I don't know. I'm
might stick to kayak for a while.
Oh God. Yeah, might.
Well, and I know a lot of people who fish. You know, like Craig Van Brocklin. Matter of fact, I mean, he fishes kayak. He fishes in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's great in either one of them. He fishes a lot of tournaments, you know, usually places, usually gets a check. So, you know, a lot of people are great kayak fishermen.
And kayak fishermen.
Jeff Altman's great kayak fisherman.
Well, and Matt at the bait shop.
Matt, yep.
He's pretty good.
He is.
But you know what?
He catches tarpon in his.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, over there in Clapboard Creek.
The thing is, with a kayak, you can't go 4 miles away if the fish aren't biting. You got to hunt them down.
Yeah.
You got to be there. The guys that catch fish, they're relentless. They can't move. They have to figure out how to catch the fish.
Well, and I think kayak fishing teaches you not to get in the boat ramp, crank up, and drive 4 miles and start fishing.
Could be.
Because there's fish that you're passing to get to that 4 mile mark.
Well, I don't do that. You know where I fish first place, usually. You know, right there down by the boat.
But I mean, most of the people, you know, when they have that spot tournament, I mean, the boats just take off and, you know, they all scatter. And you think about how many fish they're passing, you know, on the way to their fishing spot.
Yeah.
So in a kayak, like you're talking about, usually you're going slow enough that you're fishing on your way. You're fishing that area. Now, there again, when you cross the intercoastal, if you put your kayak in at Sister Creek, and want to go across the intercoastal, you don't want to waste time out there in the middle of the intercoastal.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, especially this weekend. This weekend would probably be a good weekend to go out there and get your picnic lunch and sit at the boat ramp and, you know, watch the people holler at each other.
The mayhem.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's times that I go to Nassau Sound, too. So, like you say, driving by a million fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go fishing up there, Mud Creek or any of those places up there.
Yeah. So I've often thought about that, you know. I mean, there's sometimes that there's a friend of mine that was in a tournament, redfish tournament, and I told him where a place was where you can sit there and look at the boat ramp. And he's like, you know, I can't believe they're here. Of course, I took my customers there one day, and it was so funny because the guy's like, man, I can see the ramp from here. And we caught like 4 reds, you know, right off the bat there.
Right.
Keeper reds, so. Anyway, 222-8255. Give us a call. We got one more segment, and we'll be back after this.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And 222-8255, give us a call. Don't forget to call Country Caterers. Tommy Perryman can come out and cook right at your house, you know, right at your place of business or whatever. And that's Tommy Perryman, Country Caterers, and 219-2058. It's 904-219-2058. And great. I mean, some of the best food around. Come right to your house and cook it if that's what you want.
I'm a fan of food.
Yeah, I am too. Got me a new barbecue grill, so you can imagine.
Gas or wood?
Charcoal. Yeah.
I got both.
I've had a gas grill for probably, I don't know, 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Still new? Still got the sticker on it?
The only time we've used it is Hurricane Matthew and what was that other one? Aaron or something, where we were without power, and we cooked on it then. You know, but that's the only time I use a gas grill. I just like charcoal.
I like charcoal.
Especially when you cook pork chops or steaks. The other day we had some salmon on the board, you know, it's on the plank.
Yep.
Oh, that was so good.
I don't like salmon. It's the only fish I don't like, oddly enough.
Mm.
I have a charcoal and a gas. I use the gas more if I'm going to just do some chicken during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And keep the heat out of the house, I use it. But I use the charcoal grill.
Yeah, I love
for the good stuff.
Yeah, I love the flavor of the charcoal. You know, the flavor of the grill. You know, gas grills almost. I mean, it's gas grills are good, but it's almost like cooking in the oven.
Almost, yeah, you know? Yeah. It's not the same. That's for sure. Right.
And then you can also with charcoal, you can soak some hickory chips and you know stuff like that. I haven't found any pecan chips. You know, used to you could buy pecan wood.
It's free on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Well, I use actually orange citrus wood, and I'll get a piece of a branch like the size of my forearm and soak it for 24 hours and throw that on the charcoal. I don't use chips.
Mm.
Last night I took a whole package of bacon, ground it up, added about a quarter of a pound of hamburger, and made BLT burgers.
Mm.
God, that was good.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, no. Well, you get
bacon.
You know how the BLTs? I love BLTs. My wife and I both. Mm-hmm. But there's not much substance.
No, there's not.
But a BLT burger.
Yeah, when you get the burger in there with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was well. The burger helps hold it together. And bacon's and cooking on the grill, you get rid of the grease.
A lot better than bacon bits, huh?
Yeah. It was super. super fun, super delicious.
Yeah, because if you cook your own bacon, I know the other day I cooked breakfast and had some frozen bacon, but I wound up cutting them in half. You know, you get some of those ever sharp knives and cut it in half, even though it's frozen, and just
your ginsu, cooked
half of it. Nah, I don't know what it was called though.
I need some fish tacos, Vic. I got to catch something and make a taco out of it.
Yeah.
Or if I get some flounder ceviche.
Do you make tacos?
Yeah.
No, oh, okay. See, I never had a fish taco.
Oh, my gosh. You can make them so good.
I've had fried clam tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Very good. I didn't fix it, but, you know, they were very good.
I like oyster poor boys.
Mm.
It's a super good sandwich, I think. But I don't make it. It's fried, you know, fried food.
So you're going to fish tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
And, of course, your wife's not, so she's going to make it release everything.
No, she's going to be, you know, fondling crabs and seashells. And
does she stick around you, close to you?
Oh, yeah. She don't want to get lost. She's worried about getting lost.
Yeah.
I said, honey, there's a bridge right here. Mm-hmm. It's a dead-end creek.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't want to get lost. It's mm-hmm. okay. And she's real good. She's real quiet. She stays away from me so I can actually fish.
Yeah.
And I can hear over there talking to, you know, clams or whatever the hell she's doing, heck she's doing, and I'm laughing.
So you think you're going to do some top water tomorrow?
If it's cloudy.
Yeah.
You know.
That early in the morning, maybe. I don't know.
Well, early in the morning, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be great. But, you know, later in the day, I don't find that it's nearly as productive.
Yeah.
Unless it's real overcast. And that's as fun as it gets.
I love to throw top waters around the oyster beds. It's got a little bit of grass over, you know, that sticks mm-hmm. up from them. I love those, especially when they're out away from the shoreline where you've got a space in between those and the mm-hmm. grass line. You know, throwing them in. And I haven't done top water so long myself. You know, I took some people in the springtime and did it, but I didn't get to do it. You know, but you know, you and I did it that time in your boat,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked it.
Oh, you mean when you gave me a thrashing?
Let's get Taylor on. Morning, Taylor.
Hey, Taylor.
What's going on?
Hey, listening to you.
Yeah, I went out yesterday. It was windy as can be yesterday.
Yeah. How'd you do?
Well, it was windy as can be.
That's
your answer.
Yeah, but you're
windy. No, unless you're bottom fishing.
You fished it. You fished in a hurricane before, so that windy.
Oh, I know. I didn't catch needlefish, but yeah, I went out there. And it was almost low tide. I still didn't see a lot of mullet, but I went out a couple of days before that. We caught a bunch of bigger mullet, but not the finger mullet though.
Yeah. There's mullet all over the creeks, Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not like thick. We were out there yesterday, and we were out there by the oyster shells where they should be, and we hardly seen any.
Huh.
They're probably there if you look hard enough, but I guess it's super hard. They're not like thick where, like, I remember, like, high tide there, you can just see them busting all over the water.
Right.
Even at high tide.
Well, and that one thing, too, if the wind's blowing, they're probably just under the surface, so you're not going to see them swimming.
Right.
You know, but you if you know where they're at or were you in the boat or were you in the kayak?
I got rid of my kayak. It was in the boat.
Oh, okay. So, you know, in the boat like that, you can get up on the front deck, look down, you know, and see if they're, you know, coming down the bank or whatever, and if so, then back away and then give them a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Throw over there. Might take you a little bit more cast with it to get you some, but, you know.
Yeah, I took my boat out a couple weekends ago, and then I was riding, and I hit a wake, and then the gauges went off, and then I only put, like, $40-$50. So yesterday I went out, the gauges said I had a full tank of gas. And now the gauges won't come on at all. And if you pull the key out, it still stays running unless you turn it off. It's crazy. I think I need to replace the ignition switch.
Of course you do.
Yeah, that sounds like that could be it.
And then next month, what are you going to replace? Welcome to moving up from the kayaks.
I don't care. It's still fun.
It is fun.
It is. It really is. And you got a nice boat.
Say it's a money pit, but what about the people that go to the bars and spend hundreds of dollars on a vacation? They spend thousands of dollars. You can spend your money on something.
You know who I look up to is the people that do both.
Say what?
I look up to the people that do both.
Oh, yeah. I can't afford to do both.
Yeah. Hey, you know the advantage of fishing, Taylor, you know the advantage of fishing when it's real windy?
What?
You can cast really far in one direction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but if I replace that ignition switch, I think the gauges will come back on, right?
Hopefully.
Well, then, if that's the problem. I don't know if that's the problem or not. But
I don't see why it would be the problem.
Well, when you turn the key on, it's like your car. If you turn the key on, that's when the gauges in your car come on. But if you don't turn the key on, the gauges won't come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, you could have a loose wire somewhere along the, instead of just the ignition switch itself. Sometimes if you, like even in a vehicle, I had a vehicle one time where you turn the key to crank it up, and then, you know, you let go of the key. Well, the radio wouldn't come on, the gas gauge wouldn't work and everything. I got looking at it, and what would happen is the ignition switch, I just turn the key back a little bit, you know,
Yeah. And
then everything would come on. It's like it was in the start mode, so everything was off. So try that and see if that helps. You know, don't turn it all the way back to turn it off. Just barely turn it back a little bit like you're going to turn it off and see if those lights come on.
Yeah, making
good. The guy at the marina said, too, if the boat's running, you won't be able to pull the key out. I can pull the key out if the boat's still running. He said the roller bearings are for the next mission is probably bad.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just got to find, I think there's a place on Yamaha. I mean, there's a place on Orange Park that might have the part today. Maybe I can just buy it and replace it.
You talking about Doctor's Lake Marina?
No, there's another one, a Yamaha Center Marine.
Oh, okay.
Doctors at Marine, they're open?
The parts are open till noon, I think. It's either noon or 1 o'clock. Yeah. The parts department. Their service department open for a while on the weekends, but I don't think they are now. But that's who always, you know, works on my boat.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, you know, it's only going to cost twice what they cost for a car, so it won't be too bad.
Yeah. I looked up that ignition switch. It's only like $100.
Yikes.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah, that's bonus.
For a boat, that's good.
$108. That was online, but I don't know if it was different, but it was like for the whole harness too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you probably don't need that. You should have a plug on that ignition switch.
Yeah.
So that you could just unplug it and plug it back in a new one. That way you don't have to cut wires and try to splice them back, stuff like that.
Well, I guess I got more than 30 seconds today.
Of course you did.
Once again.
We always give you more than 30 seconds, Taylor. Always glad to hear from you.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, get out there and fish a little bit when you can, man.
I'll try.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
See ya.
Appreciate you coming in, Bill.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate him not making me wash your house or something crazy to come in. You'll lord that over me.
Yeah.
Like, say.
Nah. Yeah, but I appreciate it. And there's also some great information about that.
Yeah,
good tips about the putting that gel coat resin or even fiberglass resin into the refrigerator and give you a little bit more work time with it. I had never thought about that. As many boats as I've worked on, never thought about that.
Yeah.